Heads up, before anything else, there will be exactly no April Fool's jokes in this episode. Anyone who says otherwise is a charlatan. Do not believe them. Hello. I guessed the number of beans in the jar, but stuff still happened. So what's up? Protests. A lot of them. We're going to talk protests for a little bit. First, we're going to talk about the Tesla protests, and then we're going to talk about upcoming protests, and then we're going to talk about how to do protests. And then we're going to talk about a lot more stuff. There's a lot in this one. Let's get moving. So over the past week and weekend, there were a whole bunch of protests at Tesla showrooms around the country and beyond. People gathered at the showrooms to peacefully protest with signs and yelling and protesting. Specifically, they're protesting Elon Musk. And specifically, they're protesting the whole he's a Nazi thing. Remember that time that he went on stage in front of the entire world and did a Nazi salute twice? And then some fucking chuds tried to say that's a Roman salute, and then that whole meme started? Well, the man still definitely did Nazi salutes, and then definitely supported the Nazi party in Germany, and has definitely been a complete fucking knob for years. So people aren't particularly thrilled that this fucking tool, who is insultingly bad at Path of Exile, is basically in charge of the federal government. Now, while a lot of the protests have been peaceful, I do want to acknowledge that there have been a few instances of violent vandalism at these Tesla facilities. Chargers on fire, cars on fire, Tesla and fire usually go hand in hand. So I don't see what the problem is. But this has made Musk and Trump very big mad, and they're using the Justice Department to specifically go after these people who are doing things to Tesla facilities and treating them as domestic terrorists and threatening to send them to the same prison that they're sending the deportees to out of the country. Classic punishment for arson in the US is deporting them to a prison in El Salvador. Now, should you set things on fire? The law says no, but morally, should you be setting things on fire, especially at Tesla dealerships? The law says no, but moving on. There are large-scale protests planned for April 5th. They are called the hands-off protests. I will link to some information about them in the description / newsletter / whatever. These protests are planned for basically everywhere, like every single state and a bunch of countries across the world, to protest Trump and Musk as they continue to sit in the White House and fondle each other while whispering about tariffs and, I don't know, staff reductions and stuff. Like an authoritarian Ouroboros. But moreover, I want to talk to you about protest safety and things you should be doing if you're planning to go to a protest. These are things to maximize your impact by way of keeping yourself safe and not ruining it for everybody else. So quickly, I'm going to go through five little tippies. Tips for you. That was a normal thing that I just did with my mouth. One, leave your tech at home. Phone, smartwatch, anything with a screen, anything with a radio, leave it at home. If you absolutely, absolutely need to have a phone of some kind, purchase a burner phone with cash and ditch it as soon as you can. Do not use your credit card. That creates a paper trail. Leave all your crap at home. Two, turn your body into an info sheet. If you're going to a protest, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And that's just part of the deal. I'm not saying that to scare you, but it's true. You're most likely going to be perfectly fine. But in the event that the piggies decide to arrest you, take your stuff, strip you, or whatever, you need to make sure that you've got the information that you need on your person, quite literally. You can write it down on a piece of paper as well, but if you've got that in your bag and they take your bag, you're screwed. So take a permanent marker and write a few things on yourself. Here's some examples. Jot down an emergency contact, the phone number and just the first name of someone that should be called in the event of an emergency. Write down the name and number of a lawyer who can come and represent you. There are usually lawyers that are doing pro bono work to help protesters, and protest organizers usually have a few that they know of, so chat with them, try to get a number. Also, any medical information like allergies to medications or conditions that a doctor should be aware of in the event that you are unfortunately knocked out and brought to a hospital. If they can pull up your sleeve and see, like, oh, this person's allergic to penicillin, that can quite literally save your life. Number three, don't talk to the cops. Don't do it. Don't talk to the cops, not even if they're being nice, and not even if they're just making small talk. They are not your friend. They are allowed to lie to you, and they are trying to get you to incriminate yourself. Remember, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. The only things you should say to a cop are, I am not answering questions without my lawyer present, or I would like a phone call with which to get lawyer. Seriously, if nothing else, if you do nothing else, don't talk to cops. 4, wear something practical and comfortable. Don't listen to people who tell you to get like tactical shit or wear like higher shoes so that you change your height so that the cops won't be able to recognize you. Like, no, just wear what's comfortable because you might be in it for like 48 hours. Again, you don't know what's gonna happen to you. You might be in a jail cell overnight. You might go home totally fine. You don't know. Plan accordingly. Wear something that you're comfortable in. Bring a change of an outer layer in a bag if you've got it, but just don't wear big flowy stuff. Don't wear stupid shoes. Like, wear a practical thing. And 5, look out for each other. Bring water, bring maybe some first aid stuff. Use water to wash out any pepper spray and tear gas. Don't use anything else but water, please, please. And remember, this is not about you. This is about the protest and the message. Do not make it about yourself. Do not make it about making yourself into a martyr. Don't start shit and don't get up in cops' faces. It doesn't seem straightforward, but now is not the time to fight like that, because doing that imperils a lot of people around you, especially in the US, where altercations with cops can quickly turn deadly. And dying is not as effective as making a statement and then continuing to go on and help other people. Heroics don't happen because they're sought out. They happen because someone acted in a time of necessity. Don't seek it out. I'm not saying that you gotta drop your fantasy about being the big hero, although you should do that. But I'm saying, be thoughtful and remember, it's not about you. You are one of a collective. This is about the collective and their impact. So there's that. Go forth, protest, have fun, do all that good stuff. Mostly, meet some amazing people. You're gonna find some really awesome people if you go to a protest, so make some friends. Okay, moving on. I'm talking to you. I have a Patreon, patreon.com/endeavorance. You should check it out if you want to support me. Also, head to skh.news for sources and a newsletter, which is free, and there's also some paid support tiers. That's the end. We're moving on. I can't with the self-promo. I can't do it. Policy. A Tufts University doctoral student and Fulbright scholar was abducted by federal agents in plain clothes as she was walking to dinner. Rumeysa Oztürk got abducted, as I said. Plain clothes officers walked up to her wearing a mask saying, "Where the cops, come with us." She's a student here on a visa from Turkey in the Fulbright program, which is a program where we exchange students to bring in different perspectives and cultures and intelligence from around the world to help academia be better. This student, who again is a doctoral student, she's in her 30s, she wrote an op-ed for her school paper a year ago requesting for the school to acknowledge the Palestinian genocide. That is all she did, and apparently that was enough for ICE to take her, and the state has revoked her visa. They're now trying to deport her, but a judge has recently halted that. This is insane. I'm so incredibly tired of people trying to make the argument that folks who are here on a green card or a visa straight up deserve to be kicked out if they remotely criticize the state. Like, what a bullshit take. You don't get to be a person who's like, don't tread on me. And also the government is allowed to determine who can say what. The executive branch does not get to just put limitations on freedom of speech just because it makes them sad. This foreign exchange student who's doing research was critical of Israel. Now we're gonna deport her. It's gross and dumb. And in the United States, freedom of speech is supposed to be the bedrock of our society. You know, the whole First Amendment thing? And you can argue till you're blue in the face about whether or not people with visas or green cards should be just overtly patriotic and never criticize the country, otherwise they're not grateful for being here. That's still just gross and weirdly exceptionalist. And it also is an endorsement of whoever is in power at that time having the ability to say, this is acceptable, this is not. And last I checked, the United States is not governed by philosopher kings. America is currently governed by a half-wit moron who bankrupted a casino, and prior to that, a barely alive husk of a human who spent his earlier years pushing back against integration in schools. So maybe don't pick an authority figure to determine what is and is not okay to say, regardless of country of origin. Because if the US State Department needs to deport a 31-year-old researcher who wrote an op-ed in a college newspaper because that is a threat to national security, then we have failed as a country. Oh, speaking of national security, as I was uploading last week's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening, it broke that a bunch of top-ranking government officials had a Signal group chat where they were discussing plans to bomb Yemen, and they added the editor-in-chief of the Atlantic magazine to said group chat. That is a real thing that happened like a week ago, and we're already over it, which is crazy. Like, we should not be over it. Here's the thing. If they did this for this one group chat, they absolutely have many more. Signal is not approved for this use case, and it's not like they all just coordinated, hey, let's all install Signal to have this one conversation here. This is a problem. This was us getting a look into just how little this administration actually cares about national security, which we knew they never actually cared, and we knew they never actually cared when it came to Hillary with her email server that they screeched about for years. That is not a defense of Hillary. She shouldn't have had that email server. And also, they shouldn't be doing this. But for some reason, I don't think that anything is going to really come of this because, one, who is going to do anything about it? And two, Pete Hegseth apparently has been bringing his wife to meetings with defense ministers from foreign countries. But honest to God, despite that being not okay, she's probably more qualified than Pete Hegseth. So maybe it's just for the best. Anyway, the administration's take on all of this with the whole Signal chat thing is, it's no big deal. Mistakes happen. We need to move on. Which, like, I'm not gonna sit here and point out the hypocrisy. It's not worth it. Let's go around the world. Let's go around the world, Dizzy. We're good. Oh, hey, the Greenland thing. J.D. Vance went there because the U.S. is still talking about wanting to take it over. He was there for, like, literally a handful of hours, and nobody there wanted him there. They were pretty upset about it. But during his time there, he addressed some people at a military base, he insulted Denmark, and then implied that Greenland should separate from Denmark and then join the United States. Now, you should know that most political parties in that very green land have decided to form a coalition to say fuck you to the US. They're not about it. They're really, really, really not about it. At all. Turkey, there's unrest. That's putting it mildly. There's a lot of protests in Turkey. So Turkey's leader, Erdogan, has been in power for like over 20 years and is essentially a dictator. He's most recently been doing everything he can to stop a potential opposition party from unseating him. This time, it was by arresting the mayor of Istanbul, who is the leader of said opposition party and most likely person to be able to actually unseat Erdogan. So amidst ongoing protests, this arrest happens, and that cranks it up to 11. It goes from like, hey, we're not happy with the state of things and our government isn't really doing anything to fix stuff, to our government is actively trying to make it so that we have no voice. And of course, these protests are then met with the government clamping down, saying that you can't do gatherings, you can't hold demonstrations. And they're saying, fuck you, we're gonna hold demonstrations. And the government's like, well, we're gonna arrest all of you. It's escalating pretty quick. In Canada, there's gonna be an election in a month. God, imagine election season lasting a month. So, Justin, I only did blackface that one time Trudeau stepped down and was replaced by Mark Carney. Both of them are in the Liberal Party, and Carney recently called a snap election, which is essentially going to just be the Liberal Party versus the Conservative Party, to boil it down to the basics. Now, pre-Trump, the Conservative Party in Canada was surging in the polls, and it was really looking likely that the Liberals were just gonna crash out. And then Trump came into power and started talking about Canada being the 51st state and saying Governor Trudeau and then slapping all those tariffs on Canada, and Canadians are fucking pissed. And so they're kind of looking at the Conservatives and being like, hey, actually, we don't want that. Like, they're looking at what's going on in America and they're like, this is insane. We don't want any of that. And so the graphs of the polling between these parties is hysterical. It is just a complete inversion. So the vote is on April 28th. We'll see just how much Canadians are pissed off. In Myanmar, there was a massive 7.7 magnitude earthquake. It's been more than a century since they've seen an earthquake of this scale, and unfortunately the devastation is widespread and massive. At time of recording, the death toll has surpassed 1,700 people, with thousands more missing and injured. Myanmar is not in a great way right now. There's been ongoing civil war, and some parties of the civil war have offered to do a ceasefire to help with the aid efforts, but it's tenuous at best. Meanwhile, Israel is bombing Lebanon again. They've broken their ceasefire they signed in November and dropped a bomb on a residential building in a suburb of Beirut. The Israeli government issued an evacuation warning beforehand by posting a picture of the building that they were going to bomb. So the people who live in this building were scrambling to flee and inform the other folks who lived there who didn't see the X over their house, and then boom, plume of smoke. Israel used their favorite excuse of there's terrorists here, so we're gonna bomb it, which is not an excuse. There are terrorists there, so we're going to bomb it, is not an argument. One, terrorist is subjective. Two, that's not how anything works. You don't have the authority to bomb other countries. It is just war. All you're doing is war, especially when you're saying, well, we believe there to be some terrorists somewhere in this building that otherwise is populated entirely by civilians. That's not using civilians as a shield. That's just logistics. There are plenty of buildings in every country that have governmental operations as well as other shit going on. And in this case, like it or not, Hezbollah is government operation. So that's fun. Yep. Lightning round. Elon Musk has sold Twitter to himself. He is lumping Twitter into his AI company. So that means Twitter is now owned by XAI and is like entirely just an AI bullshit thing now. So hey, this is your reminder. Get the fuck off of Twitter. DNA testing app 23andMe might possibly be transferring users' DNA data to a new owner as they're facing bankruptcy. Stop giving your biological data to tech companies. Over 1.5 million photos of users from dating apps, particularly queer and kink-based dating apps, have been leaked online. Sorry, not leaked. They were just not protected by the developers of the apps. So they were just publicly available. The apps include SM People, Chica, Translove, Pink, and Brish. Anything that's developed by Mad Mobile Apps. So look into that. And finally for today, rumor has it that you'll be able to pre-order a Nintendo Switch 2 as soon as April. I'm gonna switch to, I didn't have a second part of this joke. I'm gonna switch to my outro. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and my secret as to how I guessed about the beans. My name is Endeavorance. I'll be back on Monday. Take care and be well.